shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR shortwave 4.840 megahertz, WBCQ shortwave 7.415 megahertz, and both of those have a stream over the internet. You can get the clearest stream by going directly to our website, kingidentity.com, and then go to our radio page and scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see links directly from our Nashville studio for the Kingdom Concepts broadcast, available in WinAmp, MP3, Real Player, Windows Media, etc. So we'd invite you to listen there. All of our broadcasts, this broadcast and our weekly pre-recorded broadcast, can be heard on our Radio Archives page or downloaded from our Radio Archives page. And they're also available on CD directly from us if you'd like to send for the broadcast on CD. When you do send for a broadcast or for any other item that we carry, please be sure to write legibly and include your address. We did have a letter this past month from a William. The initial of his last name is S. It was postmarked in Washington, and he enclosed a donation, cash donation, and requested two of our broadcasts from June. However, he failed to include his mailing address. So if William's listening, we'd appreciate it if you contact us, and we'll get that right out to you. And I'd just like to remind all of you to, like I said, write legibly, and we have a lot available to enhance your teachings on this subject and other subjects. Tonight, we again have a special broadcast that's kind of an extension from last month's broadcast on the very important topic of, if you had the power, what would you do to change America and the world? This is, like I said, an important topic because you, the elect of Yahweh, are one day going to be ruling the world in righteousness, and we do need to know how to implement his laws, what's the best and most effective ways, what to do, what not to do, and that's some of what we're discussing tonight because we are the rightful rulers in the earth. It's not these people who currently occupy power. I'm very pleased that we have back tonight with us Pastor Buddy Tucker. He's been a minister for many years, very active in the Word, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast, Buddy.
Thank you, Mike. I'm just praising Yahweh we're able to do this. We still have God's blessings upon our land in the fact that this message can go out and be heard, and that this satanic power that has us in a death grip is not totally absolute, but God has his power moving, and his power will prevail. And that's the topic we're going to talk about tonight, is the law of God, the kingdom of God, and what would you do if you had the power to change things? How would you do it?
That's right. We discussed a number of topics last month. We discussed ethnic cleansing, among other things. We discussed nationalizing all Jewish property, including the Federal Reserve. We discussed changing the money system to a righteous system of gold, silver, copper. We discussed the taxation, where the children are free, but the taxes are paid through tariffs by the stranger. And we've discussed a number of areas of the law, but it's such a broad subject that a lot was left undone, including foreign policy. I mentioned briefly last month, but at other times over the past few years, that I've done a study, and I find that there are 21 different capital crimes in the Bible. I'd be happy to send an outline of this study, which includes the Bible verses for these capital crimes, but I'd like to briefly name the 21 right now because these are very important to Yahweh, and if we're going to change the nation back under his guidance to a righteous system, then we need to enforce his laws, and particularly the capital crimes. They include idolatry, false prophets, wizards and witches, and those who have a familiar spirit, is the way the scripture puts it, blasphemy, Sabbath breaking, murder, human sacrifice, abortionists, and death from miscarriage due to assault, adultery, unchastity of the bride, a whorish priest's daughter, rape of a betrothed virgin or a married woman, incest, bestiality and interracial sex, homosexuality, kidnapping, false witness concerning a capital offense, striking or cursing father or mother, stubborn and rebellious son, oppressing the poor and taking usury, and refusal to obey the sentence of judgment. Those are the 21 capital crimes that I found in the Bible, and free copy to anybody who would wish so. Do you have any comments on this or anything else, Bunny?
Well, I know one thing. Homosexuality is a capital crime. And, you know, God talked about taking them out and stoning them. Paul refers to this in Romans also about how decrepit and depraved our nation becomes when they exercise all these sexual indiscretions, bad conduct, is what politically correct says, that, oh, well, you know, everybody's got entitled to freedom of lifestyle. Presumption. That's a crime that God expressly condemns, and that also is a crime that he's going to destroy those who act presumptuously. But one thing I wanted to bring out, Mike, tonight is the fact that if you had all the power to change things, it would not be a pleasant change, because there would be war. It isn't something that people can sit at home and drink mint juleps and say, oh, this is just going to happen so smoothly and easily, and nobody's going to be offended, and no feathers are ever going to be ruffled. The first thing I would do if I had the power is pray, God, send me the men that are filled with his spirit, that have undergone the trials and persecutions that have made them men of spirit, and that will not lay down, won't compromise, and will not speak without basing their what they do and what they say upon the word of God, his law, his kingdom. And the model for this whole transition should be Jesus Christ himself. And, you know, Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth. He refers to that in Luke 12:49. He says, don't think that I came to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. Luke 12:51. Christ, what did he do at the very beginning of his ministry? He went into the city of Jerusalem, and he made a whip, a scourge, and he drove out the money changers and those that bought and sold sheep and oxen and all that, and overthrew their tables, and told them that they had made this house, which was to be a house of prayer, a den of thieves and of merchandise. And did those guys take it laying down? No, from that moment on, they plotted to destroy and murder him. And if I had the power to change America, That power would be met with an intense opposition that man has never conceived of. Read in the book of Revelation what happens. They mount up a big army to destroy Christ himself. So this won't come as an easy transition. And I pray God for the men who have gone through the perils of standing for the truth of God. And they have become men. And they are the people of the first fruits that Paul speaks of in Romans 8, that we groan in travail, in pain together. We who have received the first fruits of the Spirit. This would be a dynamo that would be so strong that when light shone into this dark, decrepit, destroyed nation, that all the forces of Satan, his Jew children, all of their propaganda machines, the whole world order would want to come against it and resist it. So that's why we would have to have the power from Yahweh himself in order to put down, to stamp out, and totally abolish that satanic control of the media, of the money, of the education system, of the philosophy, of the government. The smoke of their destruction would rise up into heaven. This is what would have to be. And yet Yahweh would raise this up.
Him ruling with a rod of iron, and as part of that company, righteous company ruling, we would too be having to use a rod of iron, and you don't use a rod of iron against people who are willing to comply, because, as I said before, the law is for the lawless. If you're complying with the law, then there's no penalty, but the lawless need to be brought into line. And I should mention that all revolutions, I don't care anyone in the history of the world, there's always been a purging that takes place from the previous government. And
well, you know, when John the Baptist saw Jesus and all these Pharisees and Sadducees came out to where John was baptizing in the wilderness, what did he tell them? He said, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Okay? And Jesus said, I came to bring fire. And that fire is what purifies. And when they see this, they will oppose it to the bitter end. And that's why we have to have people that are instilled with the power of God's Spirit, that they are Spirit-led people, not flesh-led. You know, Paul speaks of evil communications corrupt good manners. Our people are blind. Why are they blind? Because they have embraced the totality of Satan's deceptive doctrines that are being espoused from the pulpits of the churches today, claiming to be Christian, that are espoused from the halls of the government of the United States of America, and they're claiming to be doing what's best for the people. But in reality, they're destroying the endemic white Israel race of God in the earth. That's their whole purpose and whole plan. So, to bring forth the law of God, the kingdom of God on this earth, they have to be expelled, and they won't go laying down. They're going to want to fight, and we will stand in the power of God and watch Yahweh bring forth our deliverance.
Before I forget it, which I did, I'd like to mention our toll-free call-in number in case our listeners would like to join us tonight. The number is 877-924-7722. That's, like I said, toll-free, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAHS-RACE. Like I said, there's been a purging in all revolutions, and We certainly would want to purge the evil from the land. Some of these people who have administrated our government have been very evil, and they need to be executed. But the purpose is not to persecute the ignorant masses just because of their ignorance. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, and it talks about the unrighteous not inheriting the kingdom of God, and it makes a list of various sins there. And then it said, such were some of you. And what we want to do is to teach them and to cause them to repent, because this whole nation has been living in unrighteousness. The evil leadership does need to be executed. In fact, a true revival, I think you'd see certain politicians hanging from about every telephone pole in the nation just to restore the righteous government when the dry bones of Israel wake up. I don't believe in ex post facto laws where people are liable for something that they were ignorant of, but from the moment that the kingdom is instituted, they're liable from that point on for the capital offenses and for the other laws of Yahweh.
If they get on the wrong side, Mike, they're going to pay the price. And that's demonstrated throughout the Bible where certain kings of Israel would go down and join up with the kings of Judah in a war that God told them not to participate in, and yet they wind up dead. You put yourself in opposition to the power of God, and the ground opens up and swallows up 34,000 at one time. The snakes come in, and the people are bitten and die. This opposition of our own race against the law of God is a capital crime that He will punish. He will do in. It isn't that we're going to jump on the ignorant people of our race, but if they jump back on us, they're going to regret the cataclysm that's going to befall them, because God has a plan for our people, and that plan is to bring forth His kingdom and the law. Now, a lot of these people go to churches and they say, yeah, but all that law was done away with. But what did Christ say? Think not that I came to change the law or the prophets. For I came not to, you know, destroy, but to fulfill. And you can
we
do
have
that
a caller
time
on
time
line
again.
One, Steve from Oklahoma. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, sir. I have a couple of questions for you about the subject of usury, and I'd like to make a couple of comments about that. In Exodus 9:25, Yahweh commands His people not to be as the money changers. In Deuteronomy 23:19, it commands His people not to charge any interest. As I understand, the NIV translation says any interest, not just excessive interest, but any interest
right.
to another right. Israelite.
Right.
And furthermore, I'd like to know what scripture, where is it contained the law about 7th-year debt forgiveness and 50th-year jubilee debt forgiveness? That's one question I have. Hello?
I'm having a little hard time hearing Steve, and also Buddy, if you could turn up the volume to me, Jason. I did
hear
that
now?
It was on usury, and I didn't catch all of it. Did you, Buddy?
Can you hear me now?
I think he was talking about the jubilee.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to point out the two scriptures I found. Exodus 9:25, which God commands His people, Israel, not to be as the money changers, and Deuteronomy 23:19 says not to charge any interest whatsoever, not just excessive interest, but any interest to another Israelite.
Right.
And then I would like to ask you, where is the rest of the usury law where it says, talks about 7th-year debt forgiveness and 50th-year jubilee debt forgiveness, and why in the world can't we get the United States government to practice that, and wasn't the original Constitution set up more on that model where the Congress would issue just the right amount of currency for the Main Street economy to function so the people could prosper? rather than to have a private entity issue currency with debt attached to it, where we have to be charged interest in order to loan them money. In other words, they're saying that the whole bankers are saying, basically, the largest banks anyway, the international ones, are saying to us, the world owes us eventually an infinite amount of compound interest by virtue of the fact of that just we're who we are. We're Gumby, so to speak, like on Saturday Night Live, the skit, you know. But you owe us the money, and they're saying you owe us eventually because we don't practice 7th-year debt forgiveness or 50th-year Jubilee debt forgiveness, that y'all owe us, all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth, men, women, and children, all owe us. And if eventually what will be an infinite amount of compound interest, and to pay it, we've all got to live in dirt, floor, poverty, and squalor in order to satisfy their infinite lust for a certain high luxury lifestyle that they're accustomed to. Isn't that where we're at now on the money situation?
That's when we cancel the debt. Okay, if you had all the power, what would you do? First thing, you cancel all the debt. There's no debt that we owe any Jew bankster in the world. And we cancel off all the debt. As far as the scripture reference on the Jubilee, you can go to Leviticus 25 and read the 25th chapter about the Jubilee. But these debts will be canceled. They're not to be honored in any way, form, or fashion. And who do we owe the debt to? We owe the debt to the Federal Reserve. Who's the Federal Reserve? They're a bunch of private banks. They don't have anything to do with the federal government any more than the Federal Tire and Battery Company has anything to do with the federal government. In 1913, when they passed the Federal Reserve Act, they had to have some way to collect their money. That's when they passed the income tax, and they did it the day before Christmas. All the Congress and everybody was gone home, and all they did was just call a quorum vote. They didn't even have to have a quorum because they didn't call a roll call vote. And that's what brought all this upon us, was our own ignorance of God's laws, our own disobedience to allow this usury and this interest to be yoked upon us. And we embraced it. Why? Because our leaders embraced it. The blind lead the blind. Where do they go?
Well, I would like to see us get back a lot closer to... Now, the Constitution and Bill of Rights and all that of the United States, our founding documents, they were closer to being based on biblical law than all this regulatory
stuff
we've got now, and a little bit closer to it, maybe not perfectly on it, but I think God allows, by providence, them to write laws that were more in keeping with His will, and if we could get back to following our own Constitution and Bill of Rights, that would help somewhat for us to be a little bit closer to God's will as far as our money system. Don't you think so?
Well, God showed us when this nation was established, He proved the imperfection of man. How? We wrote a Constitution. We wrote a Bill of Rights. We wrote this. We wrote that. Where was it the men standing up and saying, hey, God's already written the perfect law? That's what we need to adopt.
I want to mention, too, real quickly, and I want to jump off in just a second, but also the so-called separation of church and state, which people erroneously and stupidly sometimes claim is part of the Constitution. It's right. Not in there. It was a letter that Jefferson wrote, a private letter, not part of the Constitution. Constitution does not demand of the federal government that it not have anything godly or referring to God in it, because the founding fathers and the documents they created referred to God Almighty constantly and gladly. But rather, it's talking about that the federal government is prohibited from establishing religions. But
right,
it does not. Right. There's a tremendous difference there. It doesn't say you can't.
Right.
Yeah, so you understand that. Some people are blurring the line and blurring and morphing the definitions of words, and we need to be in this, you know, to be on the same page in a conversation, you need to have the same definitions of words. And the ultra-liberal, satanically inspired mind is so good at morphing definitions and changing the words, meanings of words over time in order to deliberately confuse the population.
When 90% of the people that you send to Washington as your elected leaders are lawyers, we know what Jesus said about the lawyers. They're going to play with words. That's what lawyers do.
Right. When they got Jesus, they greatly preferred that kind of ordinary people, or citizen legislators is more what they had back then. And now, you know, like, for example, the state of California has a higher per capita percentage of lawyers than any other state. And look at how great their laws are. You know, look at what a wonderland of law that
well,
is out there.
If you want to create a mess, get some lawyers involved.
But anyway, I just want to say this quickly in passing. A little word of wisdom, and I'm a pretty old guy, and I know that this is correct. It's counterintuitive at first to most people, and it doesn't sound right, but you're in a lot better shape having, you know, the devil and all his angels mad at you than you would be having God Almighty, Holy God of Israel mad at you. I guarantee you that.
You're correct.
I guess we lost Steve.
Okay.
I'd like to thank him for his call and invite anybody else to call. The number is 877-924-7722. 877-924-7722. That's toll-free, 877-YAWS-RACE.
I want to make sure that the people understand that everything that's going on today is in complete control under the plan of God. Nothing is frustrating God's plan. All this evil that's going on is to show us, to teach us the condition that we are in, to bring us to repentance, to say, enough's enough. We demand righteousness based upon the truth, the word, the law of God.
That's right. And, you know, I believe in teaching righteousness. I certainly believe in studying the Bible and so on. But there's something beyond study. When you get a new car, you get the owner's manual, and you read the owner's manual, at least you should to know everything. But that's not the purpose to just sit and study the owner's manual. The purpose is to get in and drive the car.
Right.
Our purpose, we want to learn the word of Yahweh through either direct inspiration, which doesn't contradict the written word, and we want to study the word, but the purpose is to rule in righteousness and administer his kingdom here on earth. And so we're going to need to implement the law. And a lot of that, of course, implementing the law, but we have to undo a lot of what the previous administration has done in just a number of areas. Like I said earlier, we didn't really touch too much on foreign policy last time, but just some of the things like the invasion of Kosovo, that was one of the ancient sites where the whites of Europe held off the hordes that came in from northern Africa, the Islamic hordes. And then today, what did they do but turn it back over to the aliens, the heathen? And if we should participate in the ethnic cleansing, and once again, like I said last month, that doesn't mean cruelty. It just means cleansing the land. And so there are a lot of areas, both in foreign and domestic policy, that we have to undo from the previous administration.
Well, it's just like all this foreign aid. That's got to be done away with. Stop all that. Our foreign troops, get them home. They got no business overseas. Could you imagine anything as absurd as God telling Israel, over there about four countries from you, there's some people over there, and they're having a civil war. Why don't y'all trot on over there and get involved. They have planned all this to keep our nation in an economic crisis by spending trillions and trillions of dollars to go somewhere in the world to fight some fear of terrorism rather than bringing our people home, cleansing our land, and standing firm on the true word of God, and He will drive our enemies from us. They'll flee when none pursue it. But no, we're caught up in fear. This government and the Jew media propounds fear 24/7. That's their message, fear. Fear of default. Fear of economic chaos. Fear of all these terrorists that are going to invade our land. It ain't nothing to fear.
George Orwell spoke about that in his book 1984. You know, always keep their eye on some supposed enemy, and fear of everything is how they control us. The real invasion is taking place across the southern border into Mexico. We've got more, you know, the things that we should be fearing, like the destruction of our race, the news media, the Jews media, won't even speak about.
Right.
Concerning foreign policy, Scripture says, Deuteronomy 7:22, make no covenant with them. And the heathen is speaking of here. It talks about thou shalt drive them from before thee and make no covenant with them over in Exodus 23:31-32 and other places. We're not to make covenants with the alien. There are examples where invasions such as the Asiatic invasions that took place in Europe through Genghis Khan and some of the others, where the white nations would come down and help each other, which is a godly thing to do because...
Right.
But our foreign policy should advance not only our own interests, but the interests of the kingdom.
Right.
And we don't have to make a covenant or something. If we see something that is going to advance our interests, advance the kingdom, then we need to do it. One of those things certainly would be cleansing the land of Palestine from the satanic Jews who now occupy it over there. That's one of the biggest problems in the world, is them occupying that land, having nuclear weapons while they're complaining about various other countries with a small program trying to protect themselves. There needs to be a reversal both in foreign policy and in domestic policy.
Well, it's amazing, you know, the scripture, Paul in particular in Corinthians, talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. You can really get people stirred up over money. But if you want to talk about the spirit, God's spirit in us, they don't get stirred up. You start talking about how the law of God is violated in total by every policy instituted in this country today, nobody gets upset. Oh, you just got to love everybody, and all two-legged creatures are the same, and they've been instilled with this satanic idolatry. It's time for us to have our own jihad. That's what God commands. Drive them out. Don't bring them in. They'll corrupt you. Drive them out. Their sons will take your daughters. Their daughters will take your sons. Then what have you got? You've got a mongrelized world. God is the ultimate racist. God is the true segregationist. God is the only one that said, don't bring them in and drive them out. And yet, today, the people get upset about that. No, but put their little job insecurity and give them some bad health, and they can all get upset about that. It's like Jesus told the disciples, the multitudes are following me for bread, not for the words of life. They didn't follow him because they recognized him as the anointed of God. And these churches have turned everything upside down and said, oh, Christ, he loved everybody. And so we got to love everybody. And he told those Jews they were of their father, the devil. He said they're guilty of all the blood shed upon the earth. He drove them out with a whip. He did that on different occasions. He overturned all the money changers' tables. He said he came to bring fire. Does that sound like he came to bring peace on earth?
No, there's a time for love and there's a time for hate.
Right.
We're told a number of things over there in Ecclesiastes.
The violation of God's law brings forth the judgment and execution. God commands it. It is to be done. They say, oh, that's the Old Testament God. Hey, read the book of Revelation. Just start there in chapter 12. Go on to chapter 18. You find this cataclysmic war unfolded, and the bodies of the dead stretch out for miles and miles. That's what Christ came to bring.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right, right. He came to bring division, to separate us from the evil that is possessing our land. The God of this world has blinded their minds. And we're just to lay down and take it? No! Are they going to give up without a fight? No! But through the power of God, just like Gideon and his 300, they put to flight and destroyed all the Midianites of thousands and thousands and thousands. How were they able to do that? Through the power of God. And that's what we need. If I had all the power, what would I do?
We need to seek him first. Everybody has him on the back shelf. He's not first in their life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you.
So that's correct. If I had the power, bring us.
Steve called back, our caller, and he left a message that corrected his quote from the previous conversation, and he said, it is wiser to incur the wrath of devils than to incur the wrath of God. And that's certainly true. We'd invite other people to call tonight, 877-924-7722. Give us your ideas on what you would do if you had the power to administer the kingdom here in America and nationwide.
Well, we'd claim our school systems back and the whole education system. And there would be a brand new curriculum in our schools. And the curriculum would be based upon the truth of God's law. And they would learn to fear Yahweh God. Because what's the beginning of knowledge, Mike? It's the fear of Yahweh.
The fear of God is what Scripture says.
Okay, the first step in any relationship is respect. There can be no relationship without respect. And the fear of God is the beginning of respect. People that fear something respect it. Now, they might not like it, and they might not want to embrace it, but that's the beginning. And in any marriage, when respect is gone on either party's side, that relationship ends. Just as Yahweh, that loves us, chastens us. That's how he teaches us respect. We respect that. You know, if he isn't chastening us, he doesn't love us. Well, we chasten our children. We're to do as Yahweh commanded. And that teaches them respect. Why? If I do so-and-so, Daddy is going to react in a way that I don't want. That's fear. And that's the beginning of a true relationship. Now, I know this doesn't go along with this pablum, milk toast, goody-good Christianity that's professed throughout our land today, but it's the truth of God, and it can never be refuted, but it's always demonstrated when we violate that?
Well, Why that's the thing that's gotten us into the trouble we're in today is the Judeo-Christian churches. We have a caller on line three, Richard from Alabama. Welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, sir. Yes, I wanted to expound on something that most preachers don't talk about, or else they don't even know it. But you know, in the creation where God said, "Let us make man in our image," those people are created beings, and they do not have a soul. And the reason I know that is because on the seventh day God rested, and after that he said, "There's not a man to till the soil." So he formed a body. He did not create Adam. He formed a body because Adam was with him before the foundation of the world. He put Adam into that body, and then he said Adam became a living soul. And that's what these pagan people are. They don't have a soul. And I guarantee you, when they die, they're just dead, like a cow or a horse or anything else. And whether they want to admit it or not, that's true.
Well, if you didn't come from heaven, you're not going to heaven. Let's put it that
Amen.
Way. If you're not one of God's racial children, just because you profess something doesn't make you one of his racial children.
Absolutely.
I don't care how many children line up at my front door professing that I'm going to be their daddy because they accepted me. They don't make them my children. My children
we were with him before the foundation of the world. We shouted for joy when he made the world. We just forgot about it.
Right. Well,
Let me tell you something else. This country was set up originally to where the tariff from imports and exports would pay all the bills of the government. But they cut that all out. They forced our companies to move to foreign countries. And they don't collect tariff on the imports and exports anymore. So they can go to China and make stuff for nothing with the pagan labor for nothing. And then they send it back over here for nothing, and we're dumb enough to buy it.
Right.
It's the most ungodly setup that you can come up with.
Right.
And our manufacturing is losing jobs for the workers.
Satan's children have implemented that policy to bring our race into total abject slavery by taking everything away from them.
The word told us to occupy until he returns, and we are not occupying. We're like a bunch of weak-kneed people. I live just outside of Montgomery, Alabama. They forced them to take the Ten Commandments out of the federal building down here and fired the judge who was elected by the people and fired him for putting it in there. And these churches are full of people every Sunday. And you think they cried out about that? Shoot, no, they don't care. It's just God's law. Don't worry about it.
Right.
But we're going to pay one day.
We're paying now.
I'm not, because I love my father. I'm obeying him every day of the week. I don't eat their pork, and I don't eat their catfish. And I honor my father and his name is the Word and not Jesus. I'll tell you that right now.
Right. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen, brother. And I tell you,
and that Word is still dwelling among us.
Let me tell you another knowledgeable thing. You know, God said, I am the root and the offspring of David.
Right.
Well, he is the root. He raised up David, and then he put David's seed in Mary and made him a son so he could enter into that son and make himself a physical body. And how many people know that?
Right. He was David's ancestor and David's progeny.
Amen, brother. You guys are on the ball. I'm proud of you. Is this number that I'm calling, is that your number all the time, or do y'all have an organization
for this broadcast,
somewhere? What?
That's the toll-free number for this broadcast, but you can dial our answering service, which takes our messages at 870-741-1119, and that will get you through to us regularly. And if you'd like to write to us.
Sometime when you're not on the radio, I'd like to talk with you. That number, I'm going to make sure I'm right, is 870-741-1119.
That's right. That's our regular ministry number.
Okay. And what is your name, sir?
Mike Hallamore. I'm the director of Kingdom Identity Ministries.
You're Mike?
Mike, yeah. Brother Mike. That'll do.
Okay, Mike. I'm Richard Bergstrasser. I'm German descent. I'm the tribe of Judah, but I sure ain't no Jew.
I think that was pretty obvious that you weren't.
They stole a lot of us Germans' name to hide their identity. You know that,
right? You did that. You don't claim Henry Kissinger as a kinsman, then, do you?
No, his nose is too long.
You know, the old saying is that because the cat got in the oven and had kittens, it don't make them biscuits.
I'll tell you. Anyway, may the word bless you guys for your good. You're telling the truth down there, and I'm proud of you.
Well, yeah, I'll be with you.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Richard. We appreciate it.
I'll be in touch with you sometime on your other line when, you know, when you're not on the radio.
All right.
Have a good
evening. Thanks again for your call.
And
we'd invite anybody else who wants to join us tonight to dial 877-924-7722, our toll-free number. Yes, we're brothers because we have the same Father, not because of belief, but because we have the same Father. Our spirit pre-existed in heaven. That spirit was implanted in Adam, giving him a living soul. Eve was the mother of all living, meaning all those who had the breath of life, that living spirit. And we pre-existed in the heavens. We're the sons of God, the sons of Yahweh, and the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the created races. When we come into our righteous position, they'll be blessed too, but they'll never be sons.
The only blessing anything in this world can ever receive will come through God's racial descendants, his children in the earth, the seed of the Adam, the Adamic, and in case some of the listeners haven't been studying the word, the Adam is in Hebrew, ruddy, fair-complected. It's a racial word, and that's how this name came about. And the race of Adam in the earth is God's racial children that later in the scriptures became known as Israel. Now, Mike, on your broadcast, I'm going to make an offer right now that I've offered for the last 38 years, that if anybody can show me in the scriptures, King James Version Bible, open it up, read it, and if they can show me where it says the Jews are Israel, I'll give them $10,000.
You don't have to worry about having to pay off.
Right. And yet, all of Christianity today has been so beguiled by the teachings of Satan that they allow the seed of the serpent, Satan's children, the Jews, to claim to be God's chosen people, Israel. And because of that, all these Christians, all these blinded people that have brought our country into the ditch with them, embrace this philosophy of the Jews being Israel. So we have to fund Israel. We had to take that land away from the Palestinians and give it to Israel, the Jew. And it's the biggest lie that's been fostered upon the minds of free men throughout history. The Jews have never been Israel. They do not meet any of the criteria the Bible says pertains to Israel. And Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would not seek to kill me.
A That's been one of our problems is that we misidentify the people, one of the biggest problems in all areas. We have a caller on line 4, David from Texas. Welcome to the broadcast, David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
There we go. We had a bad line there for a second. How's it going, guys?
All right.
Hey, I'm calling with a question more than anything. I caught part of Tex Mars's program, and I've obviously heard your program a couple times. I was raised in the Baptist church and the Christian church with the whole, you know, the whole pro-Jew thing and what you guys are talking about and anti-Muslim and I just never bought it. I don't know as much as you guys do about the subject, but I just knew it was wrong. I've been to Hagee's church and it felt wrong. I didn't need to know anything about it. It just didn't feel right. It felt like it felt wrong. So I abandoned that aspect of the Christian church and couldn't really attend church because I didn't really feel comfortable in any of the churches that I'd gone to. It's not that I'm not a...
It looks like we lost David. We'd invite you to call back. Perhaps we're having some problem with the line. David's question concerned some of the Judeo-Christian churches. Certainly, they're a big problem. Not only our foreign policy is based on it, but a lot of our domestic policy. The legislators are afraid to do anything against the Jewish money powers in this country, and it is wrong. He mentioned for a bit the Muslims. That's certainly a false religion. Their God, Allah, is not our God, Yahweh. But they're whipping up the people against the Muslims. And actually, when they denounce Sharia law, to a great extent, not totally, but to a great extent, they're denouncing some of our own laws that have been copied by Sharia law. We're to stone the homosexuals, stone the adulterers and adulteresses. And I know that they mentioned recently, well, or in past years, some of the so many lashes given with the caning, which is what our ancestors taught the people down in Indonesia and so on. Well, now it's being condemned, and yet that's part of Yahweh's laws, too. On minor crimes, you get up to 40 stripes. So when they whip up against the Muslims, or when they whip up hatred against somebody else, they're taking the eyes off of the Jewish problem, these children of Satan. I know that in this county here and in other parts of the country, that there was a Jew who would go around posting up signs against the Catholics. Well, the Catholics are an abomination. They're spoken of as one of the false churches in Revelation, and yet they're still a church. So you need to get your eyes focused on the two seed lines, the seed of Satan, the people we call Jews today, and the children of Yahweh, the seed of righteousness, the holy seed.
Yeah,
so you're back on the air, buddy.
Yeah.
You were off there for a minute.
Yeah. The Jews are not God's chosen people, Israel. They are the seed of the serpent. Jesus said to the Jews in the 8th chapter of John, just open it up, read it, read the whole 8th chapter. That way you'll know nothing's taken out of context. But Jesus finally gets down in the 44th verse and he tells them who their daddy is. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And, you know, he says, so are you. You're doing the works of your father. Abraham,
they're more faithful in following their father than we as a race are in following our father.
Right. We need to be following our father. Instead, we're following blind leaders of the blind into the ditch. And that's where our country is today. And if I had all the power, what would I do to change America? We've been talking about it. We would start the revolution that isn't going to be a joyous time for all the ungodly. But the fear of God will drive them from our midst. And then
it also
can
bring joy back to the people. I mean,
right.
We're talking about taking care of those who are evil, but the freedom and the righteousness and everything will be a great deal of joy.
Light don't coexist with darkness. Okay, you're not unequally yoked together. You can't have righteousness hooked up with unrighteousness.
That's true. We have 30 seconds left.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say if you want to wrap it on up, but that's exactly true. Righteousness and unrighteousness cannot coexist. You have to have one or the other. One has to have the victory or the not.
And today, in this hellish situation we're in, it's the men that are filled with Yahweh's Spirit that are still standing up, no matter what the odds, proclaiming the truth,
We're out of time, but I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight.
All right.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.